Or rather, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 this morning. We continue our study through the book of Acts, and I want to begin at verse 32 of chapter 4, Acts 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Let's bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for just a reminder of the great grace of God that has been poured out to us by Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Thank you that we can celebrate the life that you have given to us today because of what he has done. And so, Lord God, as we now come before your word, we ask that you would be gracious to us, and that you would allow us to glean what you would want for us to glean from your word this morning, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior. We ask this for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. What on earth is the story of Ananias and Sapphira doing here in the book of Acts? That's the question I asked as I began my preparation this week for the sermon. It felt for me like their story interrupted the flow of the story through the beginning part of the book of Acts. It interrupted what God was doing through the apostles by the power of his Spirit in establishing and building his church. We read a summary of the story of Acts so far in verse 33 of our passage. It says, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, them being the church, those who believed the testimony of the apostles. But when we come to the story of Ananias and Sapphira this morning, we don't see that great grace being poured out on this couple. In fact, we kind of end with asking the question, where is that great grace? After careful study, I've come to see that there is a reason why God has allowed Luke to record the story for us in his account. And it's certainly not an interruption to the story as God builds and establishes his church. In fact, I believe that Luke included it here, which with such a stark contrast as to what has been happening up until this point in Acts, to make us as his church sit up and take notice that there's an important message to hear from God. Now, don't get me wrong, all the messages from God are important. But I believe this one from God for his church is one which should shake us from maybe our complacency, maybe alert us to what God is doing through his church and how he is going to build his church. And we as his church need to know that message and be reminded of that message daily or regularly as we walk and we live closely by him. And so being God's church, let's have a look and take note of this message that God wants us to take note of this morning. We know that the expert builder, the one responsible for building God's church, according to the blueprints of God, according to God's will for his church, is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. Some scholars believe that the book of Acts should have been entitled The Acts of the Spirit, because Acts really tells us about how the Holy Spirit builds or establishes God's church through the work of the apostles. And in verse 32 to verse 37, Luke paints for us a picture of what the church that is built and being established by God's Spirit looks like. Have a look with me at verse 32. He first of all says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Those who believed, those whom the Holy Spirit had begun his powerful work in, changing their hearts from being hearts that were in rebellion against God to hearts that were soft and receptive to what God wanted of their lives. Those who had once been lost to God and those who had been brought and adopted into his family now through the work of the Holy Spirit. Those who through faith in Jesus who had begun a relationship with God experienced the Holy Spirit's work unifying them in their hearts and in their souls. They had all the same desire to love and to live for God with all their hearts, with everything that they had. This is the work of what the God Spirit does. The Spirit gives us this new desire, this new yearning, this new love for God that we never had before, that brings us all together with the same love, with the same goal to love God more, to worship him more, to appreciate what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, we've already seen how this love for God, that the Spirit's worked in our hearts, is manifest here in this early church. Verse 42 of chapter 2 says, this church now devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The Spirit of God had changed their devotion from other things, the things of this world, to a devotion to know God more and more, to a devotion to be with God's people, to a devotion to remember what Christ had did for them on the cross in order to bring them into relationship with God, and to a devotion to exercise their daily dependency on God through prayer daily. The work of the Spirit of God in building up God's church results in bringing people from different walks of life, different races, different languages, different upbringings, and uniting them together under this one banner of love for God because of what He has done for us. How is this work of God's Spirit, this growing in love for God, unifying us together, seen in our lives today as Durban North Baptist Church? Well, we might see it in our love and devotion to Him, in meeting together like we are this morning, wanting to know God more, wanting to be with God's people, to see how God is working in the lives of one another. It might be seen in our love and devotion to God by meeting with our cell groups or being involved in ministries together, enjoying one another as we strive together to make God known amongst this community and amongst the people of our family here. Seen in our love and devotion to God by remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, as we've done this morning around the Lord's table, remembering that great sacrifice in order to bring us into a people who have an eternal, or have a hope, a living hope for eternal life. It's seen in our love and devotion to Him in praying together, expressing our absolute dependency on God for each and every day, whether it's the things that affect us because of the world around us, or it's because of our relationship with God and our dependency on Him to keep us close to Him, to walk in the ways that He wants us to. This is how it's seen in Durban North Baptist today, as we come together and we exercise our dependency on God in prayer. It might be seen in our love and devotion to Him in all our efforts and all our attempts to reach our community through the Coffee Corner, through the ATAP Center, through the ladies' ministry, through the men's ministry, through the youth ministry here of the church, getting together as one another, reaching out to the people of our community, showing them just our love and our devotion to our Lord. This is the work of God's Spirit in us, friends. This is not something that we can manufacture and fabricate by ourselves. This is a work of God through the power of His Spirit in our lives, changing our hearts from being rebellious towards God now to being softer and softer to what God wants to do and make us as He establishes His people, His church here on this earth. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. But not only did the Spirit work a great love for God in their hearts, but He also worked a great love for one another, for people in their hearts. Have a look with me at verse 32. We see, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." Then again in verse 34, "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." God's church is a people who love one another. And this love is manifest among God's church here in the early first century through those who could sell land and sell houses, sacrifice these valuables to them, bring the proceeds to the apostles' feet, so they might be distributed among those who were in great need amongst the family of God that met together, loving God and expressing their love in the way they lived their lives. Barnabas, we read at the end of that introduction in chapter 4, was an example of this. He had a love for God and a love for people which saw him go about sacrificing a field that he owned, that belonged to him. And he brought this money before the apostles and said, "Do with this as you feel the Lord leading you. Meet the needs of the people. There is desperate need. God has blessed me with this land. I want to use it so that the church might be a blessing to the people." This again is the work of God's Spirit. As God diminishes our love for the material things of this world, it creates a love and a compassion and a concern for one another. That doesn't just happen, folks. That again is a work of God's Spirit building and establishing God's church. We naturally in ourselves have this desire to take care of self, to make sure self is taken care of and loved and cared for. The Spirit of God enables us to kind of reduce our love for oneself. And because we love God, we see ourselves expressing that love for God by loving one another. How might this be seen in Durban North Baptist Church here? Well, I think we've seen it in the response to the need of those who were displaced by the xenophobic violence, giving towards the benevolent fund like we've just done this morning, being distributed by the elders to those who have need amongst us. What about providing meals or lifts or funding to meet the great needs that every one of us face today? What about our outreach ministries? What about the community center? What about the missionaries that we support? It's all because of God's Spirit working within us, giving us a love for people so that they too might be welcomed into the family of God. They might also experience this great grace of God on their lives. Of course, there is always need. And so the Spirit of God continues His work in our lives, diminishing our love for the things of this earth and building up our love for one another. If we had to put it more simply, to explain the work of God's Spirit amongst us, building up His church, we would say that the Spirit's work within us is to make us more and more like Jesus. The theological word is sanctification, making us live more and more in the righteousness that we have been given, which makes us acceptable to God day in and day out. That's what the Spirit of God does in our lives as He builds up His church, as He establishes us in God's kingdom. The church that is built by the Spirit of God is a church becoming more and more like Jesus. And this is what we see characterized the Holy Spirit's work in the early church. But, chapter 5, we see that where the Spirit of God is working to build God's church, to make people more and more like Jesus, there is another spirit at work as well. The spirit of Satan, working to destroy all that the Spirit of God wants to and has done in our lives already. Ananias and Sapphira also sold a piece of property just like Barnabas. They both decided to keep some of the money back for themselves and give the rest to the apostles to distribute among those who were in need. Now let me say there was nothing wrong with that. After all, verse 4 tells us, Peter says, it was their piece of property and their money after it was sold. They were well within their rights to keep some of that money for themselves. And so that is not the sin or the rebellion against God that we want to look at. However, their giving and keeping the money back was motivated by the work of a different spirit from God's Spirit. You see, verse 3 says, Ananias, or Peter says in verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Verse 4, why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. Verse 9, how is it that you both have agreed to test the Spirit of God? See, Satan, this other evil spirit that is working in Ananias and Sapphira's lives, has been motivating them to lie and to deceive God. You see, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to give off the impression that they were also submitting and under the work of God's Spirit in these people that God had been establishing as His own. Yet, all the while, they wanted to remain unchanged, not having to make the sacrifice, still loving themselves more and more, and being satisfied by the things of this world. This is the work of the evil one in the lives of people. There is nothing more he wants than to destroy God's church. And if he can get the church to lie and to deceive God into thinking that they are part of God's church, he can build God's church on very shaky ground. And eventually God's church will crumble and fall. How does he do this? How does he motivate us to lie and to deceive God? Well, he does it through the disguise of the results of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. You see, people would see Ananias and Sapphira selling land and giving to the apostles just like Barnabas did, and they would commend them for their work or for the Spirit's work of God in their lives. For remember, the Spirit of God makes us want to love God more and love one another more, as he diminishes our love for the world in our lives. But the work of Satan in our lives is to grow our love for ourselves, to grow our love for the things of this world, to not be committed and devoted to God in any way. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could lie and deceive everyone around them, that they were under the work of God's Spirit, which they probably were able to do because we as human beings can't see into the heart. But in fact, the Spirit inside of them was motivating them to lie and to deceive God, that they were part of God's church and therefore entitled to the great grace of God being poured out upon them. Again, ask the question, how might we see this Spirit motivating us to lie to God in our church today? Well, we might be devoted in coming week in and week out, giving the impression that we are under the Spirit's work as we meet together like this. But when we come here, we just want to tick it off of the things to do on a Sunday. We're just not interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We just want to satisfy our religious outlook and look like we are part of God's people so that we too may experience the grace of God on our lives. We might be devoted to work within the ministries of our church, enjoy the regular company of other Christians in our lives at cell groups, help out with the community projects that we're involved with, just to make us look and feel as if we are under the Spirit's work of building God's church up, yet we have no interest in devoting ourselves to God, using those things to show the love of God to people around us. We're driven by selfish motives. In summary, we do things that people under the Spirit's work would do because we want the great grace of God upon our lives, yet we're not willing to submit to the Spirit's work in our lives. We still cling on to the love we have for ourselves. We still cling on to the love we have for the things of this world, because the things of God don't bring that eternal satisfaction to us. And so where the Spirit of God is at work building up God's church, there is always the spirit of the world, Satan, who is trying to get inside the church through this way and destroy God's church, through motivating us to lie to God and to lie to His people of where we really stand with Him. Ananias and Sapphira, because of this, were struck down by God because of their sin of deception. Quite harsh, we might say. But again, I believe God desires through this to give us a clear message that the gates of hell will not prevail over His church. That He will not allow Satan to come amongst us and unsettle the foundations of His church. He will not tolerate the evil one working amongst us, allowing hurt and pain and anguish to come and destroy what the Holy Spirit has been doing in our lives. His people, His church, who submit to God's Spirit's work in their lives, will be the ones who will expose themselves to His grace upon grace, day in and day out, as they submit to the work of God's Spirit and no one else. And so, dear friends, we here at Durban North Baptist Church have enjoyed many years of God's grace upon our lives because we have been committed to submitting ourselves to God's Spirit's work in our lives, making us more and more a people who love God and love those around us. The warning is clear to us, though, this morning, just as it was to this early church. We must not be naive. We must not be complacent to think that because God's Spirit's at work amongst us, that everything is going to be hunky-dory and life will just continue under the great grace of God, and that we'll expose ourselves to no temptations or trials or challenges. In fact, what I read from the passage this morning is that as soon as God's Spirit begins to work in our lives, we have a target on our backs. The spirit of Satan is going to try and motivate us in any way possible, by any means possible, to lie to one another, to lie and to deceive God by drawing us back into our own selfish motives and desires for our lives. He will try and divide us from having one heart and one soul with one another. But if we respond as the people did here in the early church, if we respond in the fear of the Lord, and that doesn't mean that we're scared of Him, that just simply means that we respect His sovereignty over all things, His rule over all things, including the evil one. If we honor God by submitting to His Spirit's work in our lives, we will continue as a church to experience the great grace upon our lives day in and day out. And so just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I rejoice because I have perfect confidence in you. I am confident today that we as a church are prepared for such battle. These spiritual wars that go amongst us day in and day out. And by the grace of God, just as we have experienced over many years, if we remain alert and aware that the Spirit of God is in battle with the spirit of the evil ones, for our devotion, our commitment in our hearts, we can expect to be victorious and live under the work of God's Spirit in our lives until we see Him face to face. If God will not tolerate the work of the evil spirit in building His church, we as His church ought not to as well. We as His church ought not to as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the years of experiencing your great grace upon our lives as your Spirit has sanctified us and worked in our lives to love you more and to love those around us. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised that we can continue to expect your grace to be poured out upon us as individuals, as your church, for years to come, because your Spirit is committed to working in our lives, making us more and more like Jesus. But thank you also, Lord God, for the reminder this morning that there is a battle going on, that the evil one seeks to destroy what the Spirit has built up. Thank you for reminding us this morning that we are not naive anymore, that we ought not to be complacent or comfortable about just where we're headed. But each and every day we ought to be aware that there's a battle going on inside of us for our hearts. But thank you that you give us the power in your Spirit to be victorious over those battles, to allow us to be your church day in and day out. And so may that grace that has been poured upon us to be your church sustain us and enable us to remain devoted and committed to you, even through those times where we feel and where we experience the brokenness of our lives and the brokenness of this world. O Lord God, continue to have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.